I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center. Welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about repetition is a safeguard. We're going to see in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1, the Apostle Paul tells the people all throughout Philippians, rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. And he tells them repetition is a safeguard for them. One of the themes you're going to see in the Bible as you read through it is God often repeats himself. In fact, my daughter and I were just reading through the other day, and there's a section in the book of Numbers where God repeats himself 12 times as he's talking about this offering that the people bring. And something I learned a while back is God often used repetition as a safeguard to make sure that we're getting the messages that he's sending. There's this power in repetition. Repeating things over and over and over again until we get it. It's a form of meditation to break down and get everything that we can out of those hopefully good habits that we're developing, things that we're thinking on, things that we're meditating on. But repetition can be a safeguard to make sure that we can get it. There's a quote, I think it's like Tony Robbins or somebody says, that repetition is the mother of all skill. Learning to repeat things over and over again. When you find good things to do, repeating them over and over again. It's something actually we do on these daily communion meditations. For a while, I pondered or I wondered, should we really be repeating some of these same things over and over again? I feel like God's just reinforced it to me, is there's just this power in repetition. This power in repetition in our lives. So we're going to get started with prayer. If you're new to us here, the way we do these daily communions, we do some repeating. We start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez, found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to get still and do the other half of prayer. We talk about our four fundamentals that we need to keep repeating every day. And then we get into our time of communion for today. So let's start with a prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, everybody connected to them, and our church and governmental leaders. And I thank you for releasing us from darkness, transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better. That the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places. Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us, and let us find grace and favor in your eyes. I ask you to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. I ask you to stretch out your hand to heal, and do signs and wonders, and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. So we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is where we talk about our four fundamentals. This is where we do some repeating here. And it's getting to this place, these four things. I think you keep repeating them day after day. And you got to put the fun in the fundamentals. You got to make them fun. You got to make them exciting. One of the powers of repetition, I think, is that it's one thing to just repeat things and to go through the motions over and over. But it's another thing to repeat things and do them with energy, do them with life, do them with fun and with joy. Notice the Apostle Paul, we're going to talk about here in Philippians, tells the people to rejoice over and over again. This connection between joy and repetition is a safeguard. When we do the right things and we consistently put them into practice over and over, it's very powerful. I was just reading something about Tom Brady the other day and talking about, he says, you know, I'm really just an average quarterback unless I play to my strengths. He said, but also it's discipline. He goes, I was not a highly sought after prospect or these types of things, but I learned to be disciplined and I learned to put things into practice and to work. And he said, the problem is most people don't have the discipline to keep repeating things over and over and over and over again. Masters of anything. Yesterday we talked about this, make today a masterpiece. We're going to put some things into practice. We got to keep repeating them over and over. We can become masters of our day, but we got to have some repetition behind it. And what is it we need to be repeating? I think these four things, you do these four things consistently every day. And you bring the joy and the life and the energy into them and make them fun. It's going to help you to make today a masterpiece. So what are those four things? Getting positioned in the light. Magnifying the light, staying tuned in today for God's leading and direction, and then taking action and doing the things that you know to do and doing them cheerfully, doing them joyfully, because you got God with you, bringing him into the everyday moments of your life today. So let's talk about the first one, getting positioned in the light. This is the on-off switch. I've got to turn the lights on and we've got to keep them on all day. God's released us from darkness, transferred us into the light. Into the kingdom of Jesus. And that transfer happens because of the forgiveness of sins. So we got to receive that forgiveness from God. We got to walk in forgiveness with ourselves. We got to forgive ourselves. And it's got to flow through us out into the world where we walk in forgiveness with other people. That forgiveness got to be flowing through all those three levels. That's one of the keys to having the lights on all day. And the motivation behind that forgiveness was God's love. Receiving that love from him, truly experiencing his love that's been shed abroad in our hearts, and then loving ourselves the same way that he's loved us, and letting that love flow through us also, where we love other people the same way that God has loved us. To walk in love is to walk in the light. God is love, God is light. Therefore, light and love are one and the same. And all this is received from God by faith. And one of the greatest expressions of faith is gratitude and praise. To keep the lights on all day, one of the greatest things we can do is stay positioned in gratitude and praise. Now, there might be the temptation to step out of forgiveness. There might be the temptation to step out of love, to step out of gratitude and praise. Maybe we get into complaining mode, getting offended by all the things that people have done to us, all the ways that people have wronged us. And what I would tell you is, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. We got to let some things go. We got to stay positioned in this gratitude and praise. Because why? Because when you step out of that and you turn the lights off, you shut off your access to all this. In the light, in God's kingdom, is everything he has. He's given us everything he has in Christ. I like to think of it as rivers of living water, or I like to call it a pipeline of living water. And we can get this living water flowing through us in our lives, but we've got to stay positioned in the light to access it. Got to stay in faith, got to stay in love, positioned in thanksgiving and praise and forgiveness. But what's in there? His spirit, his power, his presence, his love, and his peace and joy. His peace and joy can be flowing through you. His mind and his wisdom, where you have access to the solutions to the problems that you face in life. Access to his health and energy flowing through you. His time, his finances, everything he has is found in the light. And so it's not worth it to turn those lights off because we shut off our access to all this. And then we got to magnify that light. We got to make it bigger or greater. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. And think about magnifying. We're expanding that capacity where God can begin to flow more and more through us in our life. And what we're magnifying is all about what we're focused on. We're all magnifying something every day. based on what we're thinking about, what we're talking about, what we're meditating on in our heart, what we're pondering and imagining. We're all focused on something every day. As we begin to magnify the light, it's like it expands the capacity where God can begin to flow more and more through you. And it also gets God's word and his promises and that seed that he planted on the inside of you rooted and grounded and established in your heart. Where when the issues and problems of life come at you, you stay fixed and immovable because you're focused on him. So how do we do this? To magnify the light is to magnify God's word, his promises, to give his word a higher priority and a higher place in your life, to be thinking on his word and his promises all throughout the day, to be meditating on his unfailing love, his steadfast, unfailing love that never changes, to meditate on his faithfulness, that he's always on time, that he always fulfills his promises, that he'll never leave us or forsake us, to meditate on his mighty works, that nothing's impossible with him, to meditate on who he's made us to be in Christ. We have peace with him. We have his blessing. We have his favor on our lives. He's with us and he's for us and he wants to help. To meditate on every good thing that he put within us. All those things that we just talked about on the last slide there, our last couple of slides ago, his peace and joy and every good thing that he put within us. To meditate on whatever's lovely and just and true and praiseworthy and of good report. To meditate on what's going well in our lives. And this is not denying that there's problems or issues. Jesus said, we're going to have problems and issues in this life, but to be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. We can bring those problems into the light and we can make God bigger than the problems. Often we see the problems as this big and God's ability to help or willingness to help is down here. But we've got to turn the tables on those and make God much bigger than our problems. This is choosing not to magnify the issues. You can acknowledge them and say, hey, I've got this issue, but we turn it right back around. We bring it to God. To God, nothing's impossible for you. Would you help me with this? And we give it to him and we let it go and we stop worrying about it. Stop stressing over it. But he does give us a choice. We could choose not to do that. We could choose to be positioned in darkness. We could choose to magnify darkness by thinking about and meditating on and rolling over in our minds all the ways that people have wronged us, all the things people could have, should have, or would have done, all the issues or problems that we're facing. We could be dwelling on the past, worrying about the future. We could be trying to figure everything out in our mind. I'm sure you've had this experience where you got some issue or problem, and the more you think about it, the more you talk about it with people, the more you roll it over in your mind, the more you vent and complain about it, the worse you feel about it. You feel more stressed out, confused, hopeless than when you started. And the reality is you're going further into the darkness. You're getting further away from the solution than when you started because the solution's found in the light. Now, this is where we got to get good at recognizing the symptoms so that we can turn it back around quickly. Whenever we're magnifying darkness or we're positioned in darkness, it feels heavy. It feels oppressive, like all the pressure's on you to figure it all out. You might feel hopeless for your situation. You might feel trapped or stuck and there's no way out. You'll feel your energy levels diminish. I like to think of it, it's like a black hole. It's just sucking the energy out of you. All of a sudden, you're like, why am I so tired all of a sudden? Or if you're positioned in this all the time, you may just say, why am I so tired all the time? What's going on here? Then there's the fear and the stress and the worry and the dread and the confusion. Maybe you're stuck in some sort of bad pattern or vicious cycle. But when we're positioned in the light, we're magnifying the light. Number one, there's rest for your soul. And when you rest in your soul, all of a sudden you get more present and the lights come on. You can see all these opportunities around you that you never saw before. Everything feels free and easy and effortless. Your energy levels begin to rise up. You feel that faith and that courage begin to rise up on the inside of you. A boldness and confidence that you didn't have before. Then God's peace, his peace begins to flow through you, that peace that surpasses all understanding. His joy begins to flow, that joy of the Lord that is your strength. You've got hope in any and every situation. Then you get these aha moments where just these flashes of insight come into your mind and you know exactly what to do. And you know that you know that you know this is the path. These just come into your mind at light speed. And the good news is when we recognize that we're off track, it only takes 1 second to turn it back around. And this is where I think it takes some humility. It takes some repentance. It might even take some godly sorrow to say, wait a minute, God, forgive me. Forgive me for focusing on that, for thinking about that. I was wrong. I missed it. And we turn it right back around. We start praising him and thanking him for his forgiveness and grace. We start magnifying his word and his promises that nothing's impossible for him. And all of a sudden, that grace begins to flow. Those rivers of living water begin to flow again. Just takes 1 second to turn it around. Just 1 second to turn it around. And then we got to stay tuned in throughout the day. I believe as you get positioned in the light, you start magnifying the light. It's like tuning a radio receiver. And all of a sudden, you get more present. And one of the greatest keys to being a better listener is being more present. We get more present. We stay tuned in for God's leading and direction today. Because every day he's trying to lead us and guide us to this beautiful, spacious place that's free from all restriction. And one of the things I like to do is every night before bed, just recap the day. Just ask this question. God, what was it you're trying to show me today? Is there anything I missed? And if so, would you repeat it again? We talk about repetition today. God will often repeat things to us to make sure that we get it. And whatever comes to your mind, just begin to write it down, even if you're not sure if it's him or not. And then we're going to stay tuned in throughout the day. And whenever you don't know which way to go, you don't know which path to take or which direction to go, which decision to make, you ask him, you ask, and then you wait until you know. You ask, and then you wait until you know which direction you are to go. And then once you know, it's time to take action. What do you know to do today? Putting these things into practice and doing them quickly. Once you know what to do, put them into practice and do it quickly. Because sometimes we get this to-do list that's piling up. Maybe things in our conscience, things we're procrastinating on, things that we know to do, and they start piling up and we're blocking the flow of what God's trying to get through us in our lives. Taking action, doing those things that you know to do today and doing them with God. Bring him into your day. Do them together with him. Do them willingly and cheerfully with a good attitude. Do them with confidence in him that you're trusting that he's right there with you, helping you. You begin to do that. I believe it begins to magnetize you, where it begins to pull more and more of the things of God into your life. It turns you into something like a magnet and begins to pull more and more of all God has for you into your life. Let's talk about the power of repetition. Philippians 3:1, Apostle Paul writes, "Further, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. It's no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you." Notice this power of repetition. Repetition is a safeguard. I think God often repeats things to us over and over and over again to make sure that we get it. When you find things that are important, you want to make sure that you do them over and over and over again. And there's a depth, I think, as I've learned about the power of repetition in my own life, there's a depth to repetition where you find good things, you find the right things to do, and you keep repeating them over and over. For example, we could use these daily communion meditations. When we first got started, I kind of questioned God, are we really going to talk about some of the same things over and over again? But it's interesting. The more I've done it, the more depth of insight I get into all these points. And over time, God begins to rearrange the order of the pieces a little bit. He begins to rearrange the flow of the pieces. You gain more insight and understanding and knowledge into how the pieces fit together. But none of that would have come if we hadn't been doing some repetition. Like mastery of anything comes through repetition. You want to learn a new language, you want to develop a new skill, you want to play the guitar, you want to be a good writer, you want to be a good speaker, you want to be a good business person, you want to be good in whatever it is, your work. You want to do a good job of loving and cherishing your family. There's power in repetition. Often it's simple things that were repeated over and over again. One of the things you'll see in nature is that some of the most beautiful patterns that emerge in nature are often just very simple patterns that are repeated over and over. And the one pattern by itself is not anything special, but when it's repeated over and over, it becomes this beautiful thing. I think repetition has the power to lead us to a much more beautiful life. I think it's one of the biggest keys to creating a more beautiful life is learning this power and the safeguard of repetition. So Heavenly Father, we're going to take communion over this here. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. You loved us so much, you were willing to send your one and only Son that we could have life, that Jesus is willing to do that for us. We thank you, Lord, for your love and your grace. And we thank you for this power of repetition. That's a safeguard for us to help us to grow, help us to get it, help us to be thriving, to build a more beautiful life. Father, we're asking for your help today, Lord, to master this idea of repetition, to do it the right way, to do it the way you intended it to be done. Obviously, you built this into the world for a reason. We're asking for your help with it. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he said, "Take it. Receive it," that he makes you right and holy and perfect with God through his one sacrifice. The cup of God's wrath was poured full strength onto the body of Jesus so that we could have the cup of his blessing. And every time we take communion, it says we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which is a big deal. Because in the case of a will or an estate or a trust, you have to proclaim the death to activate all of the benefits. Father, we thank you for this bread and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many." It's that forgiveness of sins that brings us into the light. And I believe as you begin to experience this power of repetition, you see the depth and the insights and the growth and the mastery that's available inside of repetition. Helps you to know God better, to know his heart and its goodness. And often, he's created the world to be so much simpler than we make it to be. To take these simple things, like, for example, communion, and just repeating them daily. There's so much in those things. To find the right things to do and simply repeat those things over and over, and to bring that energy and fun and presence and excitement into those things. There's tremendous power in that. So, Father, we thank you for this cup. Father, I'm asking for anybody just coming to mind right now, anybody that's struggled with consistency. Maybe having that discipline to be consistent in their repetition. Lord, you put that self-control, you put that discipline on the inside of us. We're asking for your help to tap into that at a greater level, to get it flowing through us at a greater level, Lord. We thank you for this cup and ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take your juice. So now it's time to make today a masterpiece. Making today a masterpiece. A masterpiece is not so much about what you're doing. It's about how you do it and who you're doing it with. To stay positioned in the light. Keep magnifying the light. Pay attention to the symptoms of where you're positioned and what you're magnifying. And turn it around quickly if you ever get off track. Stay tuned in today for his leading and direction. Keep doing the things that you know to do today and doing them together with God, doing them cheerfully and joyfully, doing them with God. And if issues or problems come up, you're going to handle them with beauty and grace because you're trusting in his unfailing love. Keep putting that into practice today. You keep repeating these things over and over again. He's going to lead you to this beautiful, spacious place that's free from all restriction. I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the Abundant Life Training Center.com.